From the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He answered them, 'Stop collecting more than what is prescribed.' Soldiers also asked him, 'What is it that we should do?' He told them, 'Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages.' Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, 'I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached the good news to the people." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, it's almost impossible this morning to improve much on the gospel you've just been listening to, it because it's a very practical reading from the gospel this morning. So what we must do is each one of us must ask ourselves, what must I do? What must I do, having listened to the gospel this morning? Well, one thing I want you to do, very much want you, is on Tuesday evening, this coming Tuesday evening, we have a reconciliation service, and I want every one of you to be here. Now, really asking you to make an effort to be here, because we all need at times to come and ask God's forgiveness. And I'm very aware of one of the things happening in the church today is, for a lot of people, confession is no longer something that they even think about. Because, I don't know, for some unknown reason, they regard themselves as not needing forgiveness or doing okay, because maybe they come to Mass on a Sunday and they're getting old, so they don't, you know. Yeah, pardon?
Older.
Older, yeah, getting older, yeah. And so the things you did when you were younger no longer apply. Yeah. No, you don't have to confess anything further, no. That's okay. We leave it like that. Yep. Right. So, now going back to that, we're going to give you now some suggestions of how you might examine your conscience on Tuesday evening. And it might be a lot different from what you normally do. Because in the gospel this morning, John is being very practical in how we ought to be living, trying to change the way we see things and begin a whole new social order. And Jesus followed on from there. And have you ever noticed when you read the Gospels? I never remember I came across Jesus in the Gospel, for example, talking about homosexuality or birth control or anything like that. He was into justice, sharing. And what did we do? Well, the church, and we consequently turned the whole thing upside down, and we got into sex in a big way. Really, we became obsessed with sex. And forgive me for the phrase, but I can't think of a better way of putting it, but Jesus was never really into sex. It wasn't a big thing in his life. He was into how people treated one another. So let's keep going along those lines for a couple of moments. And don't you think today, in here in this country, and not only in this country, but in Ireland, where I come from, very much so, there's a culture of greed. A culture of greed. And we all seem to be, most of us, I can't say all, because I'm not judging anybody, but many, many people today are caught up in that. And so you find today a lot of business people, they come to Mass on a Sunday and they say their prayers, and so they have a nice comfortable feeling, and they sing some nice hymns, and they go away feeling good. But do you ever look at your business affairs and how you live the other 6 days of the week, and looking at the way business operates today, very often people are not paid a fair wage or a just wage. People are taken advantage of the unsuspecting. There's very often extortion of more and more profits, and the maximization of profits seems to be the bottom line, doesn't it? Make more and more and more all the time. And any company that doesn't produce bigger profits this year than they did 12 months are regarded as failing. It's very sad. And we, whether we like it or not, we are, what's the word I'm looking for? Trapped or entrapped into that kind of thinking. So let's bring it nearer to ourselves. And a good question to ask ourselves this morning: if I have enough of what I need, why would I want more and more all the time? Why am I not satisfied with what I have? And the only answer, the only honest answer you can give many answers, but the only honest and truthful answer you can give is greed. Greed. And, you know, I think when it comes to that, we must all hold up our hands. What part does greed play in your life? Be honest. What part? An anthropologist, the study of mankind, according to them, people who study that, they say that ultimately the world will be brought to an end because of greed and violence. And there's always a direct line between greed and violence. Look at what's happening in most countries in the world. How, you know, we deal with regimes in the world where human rights are totally ignored. totally. We had the example recently of a man walking into an embassy to get a marriage license. And he was murdered, not only murdered, but dismembered, cut up into little bits. And his remains, nobody has found them, nor will anybody tell where they are. Somebody knows. And what happens? Or we think, we say, oh, that's awful, that's bad. But the bottom line is, we mustn't condemn that country, because they are important because of we deal with them. They're important from where? A money point of view. They buy things from us. And it's not just this country, but the UK and every other country that deals, they do the very same thing. So you're not unique here. So I'm not in any way criticizing this country. And greed, another consequence. A lot of people, when I go home to Ireland now and I celebrate Mass on a Sunday, it's often to almost an almost empty church. And people conveniently, because it's a convenient excuse, say, oh, well, people have given up on the Catholic Church because of the child sexual abuse. No, that's wrong. Long before that became an issue, people were leaving the Catholic Church when, during the Celtic Tiger, when everybody suddenly became rich. And my own family involved were not satisfied with one home. They had to have two or three homes. Two homes as an investment. And charge exorbitant rents from the people who couldn't afford it. And when they got rich, guess what? They forgot about God. Yep. And that's what happens. That's what happens in society. Everybody is out to take advantage of everybody else. Look at how you operate. Look at the business you're involved in. There's a little story about that. It's not here in this country, thank God, or I'd be very careful. But there was a restaurant owner taken to court, and he was accused of stuffing his chicken cutlets with horse meat. Oh no, that's pretty bad, yeah. Yeah. And so the judge was trying the case, and the question he put to him was, in what proportion were you stuffing the chicken cutlets with horse meat? And he said, 50-50. Okay, says the judge. Well, he fined him and warned him not to do it again or he would lose his license. So when he came out of court, the restaurant owner, he met a friend. And the friend said to him, what did you mean by 50-50? And he said, one horse to one chicken. See? See how you can manipulate things. So getting back then to where I began and where I'm going to finish, I'm thinking clearly this morning, it must be the sun. Getting back to where I began and where I'm going to finish. So Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we guarantee you, you'll be out before 8 o'clock. So you come to church on Tuesday evening, and I really want you to come. Because that's very important, to seek forgiveness from the Lord. Now, don't concentrate on sex. There's much more important things in life than sex, right? Yeah, good. Yeah. Sorry, you've been there. No. That's okay. More power to you. But pardon?
No wonder you have so few friends. Look how you're.
I know. Yeah. Oh God, forgive me. Yeah. So, but yeah. And so, now seriously, so we don't need a big long list. Because seriously, when you walk in that door, God knows what you need to be forgiven for. And that's a beautiful thing. And God always forgives totally. So when you come on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, just say, Now don't, hello. Don't leave. Bring back the baby. There's nothing wrong with the baby. No, don't let her out. No, seriously, there's nothing wrong with a baby crying. Come and sit down and enjoy the Mass. Please, come back. No, there's no need. If a little baby cries, isn't that the most natural thing in the world? Yeah, come back, feel comfortable, and if anybody is looking at you, you tell them, you'll handle them, yeah. And I'm sure you could, yeah. Yeah. So, that's grand now. We're all settled down again. So, a good way of examining your consciousness, what do I feel in my life I need to ask God's forgiveness for? Most of all. And it could be maybe my greed and my selfishness. So look at those things. Come to whatever priest you chose. Mention one thing, back to your seat, don't leave, because at the end you'll get general absolution, and I guarantee you, you'll go out that door full of joy, and you'll be a carrier, if that's a messenger of joy to everybody you meet. Amen. Good. There we are.